got that old pieces calling in the bonds of love we meet for the world anew.
Welcome to Muffin Talk.
Kia ora and welcome to Muffin Talk. Muffin Talk is a weekly radio program to which I invite guests to talk about their work and their passion for issues on community programs, social justice, Bible studies, or the Catholic Church. My interviews are done in the studio of Planet FM or via Zoom. Today, I've invited Brother Kieran Finn to a Zoom recording for a broadcast. Brother Kieran, a very warm welcome and hi to our radio program.
Kia ora, bayate.
Brother Kieran Finn is a Champagnat brother and Bible scholar, originally from Gisborne, and has spent many years in adult education, teaching scripture in New Zealand and abroad. Earlier this year, we held a fascinating course on the passion narratives and the resurrection narratives in all four Gospels. For the month of July, Brother Kieran will start a new Monday series. The topic was chosen on request of listeners and will be on the Psalms. All sessions stand alone, but they're also connected. Brother Kieran, before introducing the first session, which is scheduled for Monday, 5th of July, 7 to 8:30 p.m., can you tell us who wrote the Psalms? We have talked about the Gospels, and there we have clear attribution to Gospel writers. But what about the Psalms?
That is an incredibly complex question, because I suspect the earliest psalm was one that actually was a song sung by the Canaanites. And it was taken over and it was then ascribed to the God of Israel, because it's a story of lightning bolts and thunder. And of course, Baal-Hadad was the Canaanite god. So we've got a psalm as early as that. Now, there are psalms of Korah. There are other psalms that are ascribed to different guilds. David was the sweet singer of Israel. We know he managed to soothe Saul when Saul got in a bad mood. But this, what happens is that these songs, and they were songs, and they were oral before they were written down. And occasions were then found in the life of David to ascribe a psalm to him. And I think we need to recognize the ascription, that it would be very hard to prove that David wrote a particular psalm. I know Psalm 51, that great psalm of repentance, is ascribed to David. But again, it finishes with talking about rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. And of course, they hadn't even been built until Solomon's time. So you can start to detect things in the Psalms that give you small indications. Because it's that question is an interesting one. We really don't know. We know some psalms, Asaph and Korah, psalms that are ascribed to them. We can get a faint idea about the historical circumstances behind them. For instance, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat and wept. But, and again, I think there's one psalm, delightfully, there's a wedding psalm. And it talks about leaving your people and your father's house. And it talks about Tyre and Sidon. So there seems to have been a royal wedding with someone from the north. And that sounds very much like Jezebel and Ahaz. And it's a beautiful psalm wasted on a pair of scoundrels. But the incredible complexity of the question of identification is one that it really pointed out that you can't really use historical criticism trying to find who wrote something and what they meant at the time. It doesn't work, which is why for our second session, the current critical approach to the Psalms is one of genre. What type of psalm is it? rather than who wrote it and what were they trying to say at the time. We know these were songs that were sung right through the period of Israel's history, perhaps even as late as the 2nd century.
The picture on the poster that I prepared has David with his harp on it. And that's quite a typical image that you have when you think of Psalms, and David singing and lamenting.
Playing the lyre.
Oh, it was the lyre. Okay, well, yes, that's right. Not the harp, but the lyre. But yes. That's a picture that many people have when you think of Psalms, because Psalms and song, and then you have to have an instrument. And so David is quite predominant here.
Well, of course, the very word psalmoi means songs to be sung to stringed instruments. So maybe those who used to play guitars might have been on the right lines.
Yes, that is important to know. So when it's like in the early church, it was a lot of chanting. So then they would have been moving. They didn't have a piano or an organ, but even the piano and the organ has strings in the back, the grand piano at least. Mm. So I think that it's still, according to that tradition,
it's still a stringed instrument.
Instrument, absolutely. And so tell us more about the first session that we are looking at with the Psalms.
Well, that's the first session really shows me very strongly that the Psalms really do relate to life and the flow of life. And this it's from a book by Walter Brueggemann called The Message of the Psalms. And it talks about psalms that are sung when life is going smoothly, when the orientation of life is nice and balanced and predictable. And so we sing these psalms of orientation, and let me just get into this orientation, and we'll have a look at a few of them. Interestingly now, the arrangement of the psalms is a very complex question, but let's begin at the beginning with Psalm 1. And happy or blessed are those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or take the path that sinners tread, or sit in the seat of the scoffers, but their delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law they meditate day and night. They're like trees planted near running water, and they yield fruit in due season, and their leaves never wither, and all that they do prospers. But that's not so for the wicked. But now, you see, this is an orderly world where the just people get the reward of being good, and the bad people, the thumbs go down on them. So that's the orderly world, and that's great. So everything's going smoothly. And then, of course, it's so easy to become compliant, where you sing, "Oh, as for me, I said in my prosperity, I shall not be moved. By your favor, O Lord, you have established me as a strong mountain." It's kind of the theology of Deuteronomy, where good things happen to good people and bad things happen to bad people. The Psalms are a beautiful pattern of the history of Israel, of what happens to these in the life and flow of Israelite history. And then it continues, life is wonderful. So what do you do when life is wonderful? You thank God. Psalm 145, "I will extol you, my God and King, bless your name forever and ever, and every day I'll bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised." And so life is going along very nicely and very regularly, and of course in the seasons. Children are indeed a heritage from the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is reward. You shall eat the fruit of the labor of your hands, you shall be happy, and it shall go well with you, and your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children will be like young olive shoots around your table, and that shall be the person who shall be blessed, who fears, who holds the Lord in awe or reverence. I'll mention that word fear on, it's an interesting one. It's the worst translation of any term in the Old Testament. Reverence and awe and giving God the right place in our lives. But the regularity of the seasons where children are born, the crops are good, and everything is happy. So there's the consequences of all of this is that the good person, life is good, and you share out of your bounty, distributing freely, giving to the poor. Righteousness endures forever. The wicked shall see it and are angry. They gnash their teeth and melt away. So bad things happen to the bad people. But now that's been great. This is the flow of life. Life's good, no troubles, comfortable and wealthy. Creation is orderly. Everything is going smoothly. But unfortunately, there are always times in life when the bottom drops out of your world. And that's the Psalms of disorientation. Life goes horribly wrong. It could be someone close to you dies. Your life is changed utterly. You are upset and you're deeply disturbed. And then, of course, we come into the Psalms of lament. And lament is such a critical factor in the Psalms. 60 of the 150 are Psalms expressing the trouble of the heart. And so many of them will begin with, say, well, Psalm 13, don't have to be suspicious, but Psalm 13 happens to be one of the Psalms that express this. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I bear pain in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all day long? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? And of course, how long is something that occurs again and again when people are in trouble and are feeling it. So that element is there and it's powerful. And then, of course, you have the people, you're estranged from people. There's a degree of separation. What has happened? Enemies arise. Psalm 35 speaks of malicious witnesses rising against me, repaying me with evil for good, even though when they were sick, I looked after them. I wore sackcloth, I prayed for them, and I grieved for their illness. And how long will you look on? Rescue me from their ravages, my life from these lions that have turned on me after I looked after them. So there's a depth of feeling that comes through.
Seems to be very human, everything. It's like
this is the flow of life, isn't it? Really,
it's current as today as it was 2,000 years ago.
Exactly. And of course, I like that word 2,000 years ago, because when another one of these Psalms of disorientation is 88, O Lord, God of my salvation, when at night I cry out in your presence, let my prayer come before you. My soul is full of trouble and my life draws near to Sheol. You've caused my companions to shun me. You have made me a thing of horror to them. Who was it that had that sickness and was despised, and his comforters came along and continued to complain to him about himself? Our friend Job. Isn't that that's a real echo of the book of Job?
And Job was such a righteous man and still was punished. So in a way, he was showing that punishment doesn't mean that you are a bad person.
Spot on, because there's one of the things I love about the Psalms and I love about the Hebrew scriptures themselves, and it's a lesson for us today, they question their own theology at times. Some of the assumptions need to be questioned, and it does it so well. And then the cry for deliverance that finally comes in these songs of disorientation. Psalm 69 is a beauty. Save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my neck. I sink into deep mire where there is no foothold. You're drowning, all right. I've come into deep waters and the flood sweeps over me. That's funny. I think we've had that happen in this country a few times during the year. I'm weary with my crying. My throat is parched. My eyes grow dim with waiting for my God. So this plea for deliverance from out of the heart of disorientation. And then, of course, at last, life does get itself put back together again. These psalms are the psalms of new orientation where troubles are overcome and new life begins. And when that happens, of course, the recovery is underway.
Brother Kieran, it's interesting how you said troubles are overcome and new life begins, because it's like phoenix out of the ashes, or it's like the monarch butterfly that is in the chrysalis and really has to fight, and it looks quite disorganized in there. But then in order to be born out of this chrysalis, it has to destroy the chrysalis and leave the shell behind. I think it's the same kind of picture that you are now painting.
And you have just spelt out the resurrection, because one of the great comparisons is that the orientation for Jesus himself, as Paul expresses in Philippians, he didn't cling to his power, but became one of us, then lives his life, the disorientation of the cross and death, and the new orientation of the resurrection. You can see so much of this pattern in creation itself. And then for the Thanksgiving, it's a natural process when life comes back to some kind of normality or new life emerges. I will extol you, O Lord, for you have drawn me up and did not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried to you for help and you have healed me. O Lord, you brought me up, my soul out of Sheol, restored me to life among those who go down to the pit.
Brother Kieran, can you say what Sheol means? Because we had the other day a discussion about Jesus descending to hell, where people said, how can he go to hell? And so can you put hell and Sheol in a context? Is that possible?
Yes. I was asked that very same thing by a teacher just the other day, that the class had asked that question of how Jesus went into hell. Sheol, in Jewish thinking, they did not have a concept of an afterlife in which the wicked were punished and the good were rewarded. Sheol was a place of shadowy existence. And there's one of the lines of the psalm says, no one gives praise to you in Sheol. So God, keep me alive so I can give praise to you. Sheol is that place of the dead. Now, if you think of the creed, he descended into Sheol. He descended to bring those out of Sheol. Well, Joseph, for instance, the prophets, the great figures of Israel. So gradually, from about the 4th century, and especially to the 2nd century and so on in the book of Daniel, this emergence of an afterlife in which there is a place for the good and a place for the bad. So the history of shale, the reaction of the Jews, of course, you think of Egypt and the embalming of the bodies and so on, and the reaction against that type of thinking. But shale was a concept that was there for a long time in Jewish thinking, and only later, possibly around closer to the second century, does this concept emerge of this reward for the good and punishment for the bad.
So then when you talk about the creed, then when I think of the German translation, it would be the empire of the dead. So that would be a better translation than hell, because hell has other connotations.
Yes. And of course, even in the New Testament, of course, the term Gehenna is used. And Gehenna was the rubbish dump, the perpetually burning rubbish dump of Jerusalem. And those who fled to that place were the outcasts, the lepers, and the unclean, and this gathering of lonely, isolated, condemned people who couldn't go to the temple, who couldn't worship the Lord in the temple. It becomes a great image of what hell is about. So, yes. So, meanwhile, back with the Psalms of new orientation, we give thanks to God who has delivered us. All right. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he turned to me, and he heard my cry, and he drew me up from the desolate pit, out of the miry bog, set my feet upon a rock, put a new song in my mouth, and a song of praise to our God. Well, this new orientation is producing some pretty powerful and beautiful stuff. Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Oh, good, because you've experienced this wonderful deliverance and new life. You want others to join you in praising God. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing, and know that the Lord is God. It is he that made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Good. Go to the temple. Thank God too. Give thanks to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. Psalm 100. That's the whole lot of it.
Right? Yes. But
and
also,
it's a beauty.
But that is so. The beautiful thing is that, that there is this thanksgiving. So it's not just accepted as I have the right to, but it's being grateful for it. And that's like in Psalm 92 with that Father Chris Skinner was singing, it is good to give thanks to the Lord.
And the nice thing about that one is it's individual thanksgiving. It's always important to look to see, is it the community saying thanks or is it the individual? And so Chris's one is, I think, individual thanksgiving.
And if everybody sings it together, then it'll be also a communion.
Right, yes. But, of course, it's praising God's faithfulness, God's hesed, that wonderful term, God's loving kindness and faithfulness to all of us.
That's good. That's beautiful. And the praising is something that is with joy and energy. Don't praise very quietly.
Right. Yes.
So that's when we have the first session. So can you just mention the different categories that we are going to look at during the sessions on the Psalms?
The first one or the second and third?
Yeah, just because those people who are listening and who are interested in joining us, so that they have an overview quickly.
An overview, right. Well, the second one is, it has to be really coming out of this, the different types of Psalms. We've subtitled it the highs of praise and the lows of laments. Well, we need to know what songs of praise or hymns of praise are, the different categories of hymns. What has been celebrated? Creation, God's redemptive work, God's saving of and choice of the people. So we're going to have psalms of historical remembrance. We're going to have psalms of wisdom, the way of the good and the way of the bad. We're going to have psalms that celebrate the beauty of creation. And, oh yes, my favorite, when I see the works of your hands, the moon and the stars that you made, what are we that you keep us in mind? So the glory of creation and the glory God gives to humanity. So yes, and then we get into the individual psalms or individual hymns of thanksgiving also. The reaction of thanksgiving is important, and communal thanksgiving. And so much of this is that you can see the history of the people coming through these structures. The lament psalms, yes, and because of the fact that there are 60 of them at least, one of the great challenges facing our church is we do not use the Psalms of Lament in the Mass as responses to the first reading. And we should, because we've kind of got this attitude now that we shouldn't be saying anything's wrong. And anybody who's aware of the church of today and the problems that exist know that we have much to lament as well as to celebrate. So laments need to be reflected on and placed within the liturgy at times.
That's why you say there's time for praise and time for reflection and time for lament.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. So we need to look at the different types of laments and what is being lamented too. I think that it raises an important question, because anger can often be a human response. And sometimes anger can lead to hatred. And in 1967, Pope Paul VI actually issued a motu proprio in which he said that these expressions of hatred are not to be used in the liturgy or in the Psalms, and even in the office and so on. And some things, you know, a number of them went out. There's one psalm that was completely full of hatred. That one was blocked. And then, of course, that wonderful psalm that by the rivers of Babylon.
Yes.
You know what the last line in it is?
It's quite cruel, the last line.
Yes. Happy are those who take your little ones and dash their brains out against a rock. And you know that. But then, see, we come to the question of why are those things there? And when we know the history of the people, we can understand something of why they moved in that direction.
And, but then again, this was said by people. It was not said by God. It's not a punishment of God.
That's right. And of course, we have to be very careful with that term. Thus says the Lord, right? So people said those things, but then again, what about the ban, the harem? When you take this, you have to kill every man, woman, and child, and animal, and offer them to God. That's another big question we can maybe come to as time goes on.
Yes, we're going to have three more interviews on the Psalms. So yes, this was our introductory interview. And then next week we'll have the interview that introduces the next part of the sessions. And because we're coming now to the end of the interview, and thank you very much, Brother Kieran. And just to remind everyone about this series, which starts on Monday, the 5th of July, 7 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. And please register with us at either by email to info@studyjoy, so the word study and joy, but together, studyjoy.nz. And also the website, www.studyjoy.nz, and there you can listen to the interview again. And I hope to see you, and we'll have some music of Father Chris Skinner, and we have more information about the Psalms. And I think that we have so many hymns that are based on Psalms, and we hear the Psalms every week, but it's often a bit neglected. So let's see and give some power to the Psalms and to humanity in the church. Is that fine with you, Brother Kieran?
It is. And it's good to give praise to the Lord, to sing psalms to your name, O Most High.
Thank you very much. All the best. Right. Bye-bye.
Out there, oh, peace is calling in the bonds of love we meet, for the world a new day dawning and shining.